Hey guys, it's Lamont. I'm back with another episode of the HVAC Apprentice Podcast. And the aim here is to take the ordinary technician and make him extraordinary in as little time as possible. I know when I started the podcast, it was definitely something that, you know, I did for selfish reasons. I think I may have said this before, there was a lot of guys in the trades that were just leaving for no good reason, you know, and they were all telling me kind of the same things, man. They weren't getting offered, you know, a salary that would take care of their family in the beginning, and they didn't see themselves going through the whole process and trying to work them way, you know, work themselves up the ladder and get to the point where they are financially stable. And I tell you, man, that I think that's a huge disservice to them, to their family, because there are certain things that you can do to level yourself up so quickly in the field. But I find that the thing that hinders us the most is mindset, right? Do you think that you can do this? Because, you know, making a career choice, especially if you're a young guy, man. I mean, if you're in your late teens to early 20s, you really have a lot of time to trying to figure out where it is that you fit. But the problem is that time goes by very fast. So you'll find yourself, if you really don't take things seriously, you'll find yourself in your mid-30s, early 40s, late 40s, and you're still trying to figure it out, you know, what it is that you want to do. And I'm speaking to men specifically because, you know, I tend to see that this is the biggest driving factor for male suicide, for homelessness, and for male depression, you know, whatever the case may be, where you have a male in his 40s and 50s and he just feels like he doesn't belong in the world. He doesn't have purpose. There's nothing that he is aiming for. He's maybe doing the same thing that he did in his 20s, which is typically chasing women or reliving old glory days. And what we typically see is these guys tend to move from job to job to job to job, and they never really have a stable career. They don't have anything that they're really proud of, and a lot of times it lands them, you know, in a place where they look back at their life and they see where they are and they're like, man, my life has just passed me by. And, you know, I see that so often, and it, you know, it's heartbreaking because, you know, you see guys who had so much potential to do great things. I mean, some of these guys I listen to, I mean, their stories from high school, I listen to how great they were as athletes, and then, you know, something happened, an injury happens, or they may have had a child, or, you know, may have had a bad situation in life where they couldn't pursue their dreams, and then they just kind of gave up without actually moving forward to the next step. And like I told you guys, I was fortunate enough at 29 years old to kind of stumble into the trades because it was something that I really wasn't looking for. But the good thing is, if you have that time, right, if you still have that time to get yourself together, to have your mindset to where you're able to look forward to the future, then, I mean, it really doesn't matter how old you are. You can always kind of dig yourself out of that, you know, that grave, so to speak. But you have to have a mindset that will allow you to do that, right? You can't have that woe is me victim type mindset, because that's not going to do any good for you, because you'll be in a situation where everything that you do is just going to frustrate you. You know, I don't know if you've seen those guys who all they do is just complain. I mean, and they may be in the best situation in life, but because it's not going exactly the way they want it to go, they just complain about it. And you don't have to be that guy, because that will hinder your progress. That will stop you from getting to the point where you want to get to as quickly as you want to get to in life. And, you know, this is not just trade talk. I mean, this is just, you know, these are things that I tell my sons. Hopefully they'll be entering the trades pretty soon. And because this is something that they told me they wanted to do. And, you know, the thing that I'm doing now is preparing them to have a better mindset than most of the technicians that I work with, because that will propel them further than anything else. Their mindset will prepare them further than anything else, because if you see where you want to be, you envision yourself being exactly where you want to be, and you hitch your wagon to the people who are where you want to be, and you do the things that they do, it's very unlikely that you will fail. Very unlikely that you will fail. If you follow the patterns that have already been set, you walk in the footsteps of the people who have already done it before you, and you learn how to tweak certain things to allow it to go to your style of doing things, I mean, you'll see how amazing, how fast paced everything will go. And then you'll be in a position where you will be able to command the type of pay you want, right? You'll be able to command the type of respect that you deserve in the trades. And it'll be because you're putting in the work. If you put in the work with a mindset, man, you'll be unstoppable. I think the biggest thing that I struggled with, especially getting started in the trades and then progressing forward as I moved, and still sometimes to this day, because there are certain, certain parts of the trade that I'm still not familiar with, that I really haven't put hands on. So if I come across a piece of equipment that's brand new to me, there is some self-doubt that creeps in there, right? And I think that's something that we all deal with. I think it's something that is apparent in what we do, because a lot of us who really hold ourselves to a higher standard, we don't like to fail, right? But you can't allow failure to keep you from doing the very things that you want to do, because then you'll be shorting yourself short, right? And you don't want to do that. So we're stuck with this question, right? Can I do this? And even if you can do it, can I do it well, right? And then say, for example, you want to progress further in the trades to becoming either a mentor or a manager or a lead or something like that, right? And then there's a position of authority that has to be met. And I'm not saying, you know, authority in the terms of you being over somebody. No, are you the voice of authority for the trades? Do you know what you're talking about, right? Have you gone through these experiences, or is it all theory? Like, people want to know what it is that you've actually accomplished in the trades. Your boss wants to know, you know, the your potential employer wants to know. And those are the things that you really have to kind of hone in on. And I'll just be transparent here. That is something that I really struggled with for a long time, right? Do I see myself to be the, not the authority, but an authority, you know, a authority of the trades? Like, am I qualified enough to speak? Am I even qualified enough to do a podcast, right? And those are some of the things that come up. And those are the doubts and the fears that you kind of constantly have to deal with, right? And oh my gosh, don't let you have a customer complain about your work. Oh my God, it seems like it just shuts everything down, and now the doubt just continue to creeps in. It's so funny because, you know, recently I had a customer who, it was a pretty sad situation. I've been going to her for about a year and a half. Did her maintenance, did everything I needed to do. System was running, you know, like a champ when I left the maintenance. But the system is about 14 years old or so. And, you know, there's one thing that I always kind of warn my customers about is, hey, there is a chance that something may happen, because the system is just, you know, especially in Virginia, the system is past its age where it's going to be like a spring chicken. You know what I mean? There are going to be things that are going to happen just due to age, due to corrosion, whatever it is, right? And we had a particularly hot summer this year. It was a late summer. We didn't get really started until like July or so. Our June was pretty mild. So we were still doing our maintenances in June, and July hit, and I mean, it was almost record breaking. We were doing so many different numbers. I mean, day to day, I mean, we had it felt like it was in the hundreds for at least 14 days straight. Pretty sure that's not the case, but it was extremely hot. I mean, it was definitely the dog days of summer. So the, fast forward a couple months, the extremely hot days, we were having a string of calls where, you know, it's typical summertime. Customers are calling in, coils are leaking, systems are shutting down, systems are breaking. And in this one particular case, there was a leak that became present at the outdoor unit on the coil. Like I said, it was a train unit. It was about 14 years old or so. And it happens, man. And, you know, I've been preparing her, you know, every time I was out there that, hey, you know, this one, it's running good. I'm getting good numbers. I'm getting a good delta. But there's always a possibility that, you know, this thing could happen. And it did. And because it happened, she called and complained to the office about my work, and I had to defend myself. And it's a good thing I take videos and pictures, and I take photos of my Delta T. If my Delta is not good, I throw gauges on the system. I take readings and take photos of the readings. And, you know, I take photos of before and after of me cleaning the coil and pulling the leaves out and spraying the unit down and hosing it down and doing everything I need to do to make sure I, you know, cover myself. And you know, the crazy part was I did everything that I was supposed to do. I even went, you know, above and beyond for her to try to find the leak, and it still did not satisfy her, because, you know, at this point she's probably gonna have to pay between $8,000 and $12,000, depending on what she's looking at getting, to replace the unit. And mind you, this is something that she already knew was gonna happen anyway, because it's something that needed to happen. However, because she called and complained, you take a hit. There's a hit that you kind of take to the ego. And I'll give you a funny perspective. That same week, I had three customers give me excellent Google reviews. I mean, excellent Google reviews. But the crazy part is, those Google reviews did not matter, because that one complaint is what threw me off balance. And it happens that way, man. I mean, there are things that are going to challenge your authority in the trades. There are customers who are going to challenge your work ethic. They're going to challenge you. And a lot of times, it's, you know, if you're doing everything that you're supposed to do, it's not really much you can do, because things happen, right? But you can't let that knock you off your square. There has to be something inside of you internally that says, hey, you know, there was a hiccup there. If I messed up, I messed up. I need to learn how to come back, make it right, and then bounce back, right? You can't just wallow in it. You can't stay in there, because then that will start to create a defeated mindset. That will create a victim mindset. And for me, I could have easily taken that and said, man, these customers, man, I just don't understand what's going on with them. I don't understand why, you know, they treat me so bad and what was me and blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not going to do any of that. There's still room for me to see where I could have improved there, because maybe I didn't communicate to her properly what was going on with the system. Maybe I didn't set her up properly to make sure that she knew that, you know, this could happen, you know, quicker than we expect. You know, it's a lot of different things that I could have done, right? And what I tend to do is look back at the calls that I have gone on, and I try to see if there's any way that I could have done something better. Was there a better conversation I could have had with the customer? Was there a better way I could have presented the information to them to where they may have caught on to it faster? Is there anything that I could possibly do to tweak the process every single call afterwards to make sure that I'm doing the best I can to present the product to my customers in a way that they understand it and understand that this is something that they may potentially need? or just give them the opportunity to make an informed decision, and understand that there are going to be some emotions in this, because these are life-changing decisions for some people. I mean, $8,000 to $10,000 is not something that you can just kind of shake a stick at. No, I mean, you have to either save for this, you got to be able to be financed for this. Like, these are huge items. And if a system goes down, this is going to affect your comfortability level. It's going to pretty much affect how you interact with people, because if you're hot, I'm pretty sure you're going to be pissed. You know what I mean? Like, so these are big ticket items, right? And we have to be mindful and conscious that customers are not going to give us the grace that we often think we deserve. So we have to really feel our way through it and figure out, okay, how can I move past this? Does it take a hit to the ego? Yes, most definitely. Did I question myself in regards to my authority on being the guy that does the podcast that may have people looking up to him? Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, because you'll get that. You'll question yourself. But then I'll also have to remind myself that, hey, this doesn't happen every day. I think this was the first complaint that I've had in a very long time. And I think that's probably why, you know, I took it so bad. But and I said I took it bad, but I really didn't take it bad. It stayed on my mind for a few days. And that's my definition of taking it bad, right? But it didn't affect how I interacted with my other customers. The only thing it did do was affect how thorough I was going forward, right? So because I only had maybe 10 or 12 pictures there, now I'm doing 15 to 20 with videos. You know, now I'm, hey, Miss So-and-so, let me bring you to the system and so you can see the condition of the coil after I clean. And then I'm documenting, hey, yeah, I brought Mrs. So-and-so to the coil. I showed them before, I showed them after the cleaning. I have a picture before, a picture after the cleaning, you know, just to kind of cover myself in a way. But again, that should not take me away from being the authority on what I do know. Because what I do know, no one can take from me. The experiences that I do have, the successes that I do have, no one can take it away from me. As much as they try to, they can't. All right. So if you think you can't do this, I encourage you to change your mindset. Change your mindset. And I think there are going to be, a few things that need to be tweaked. If you want to get started on this journey of just kind of like, you know, changing your mindset, trying to get away from the victim thinking, if that's the mindset that you have now, I'll tell you what helped me. So about a year or so ago, probably longer than that, I really stopped listening to music all day, because I would listen to music all day, every day. And I started listening to podcasts that were about empowering your mind. I started reading books on it. I started reading books on changing my habits. There's a great book by James Clear. It's called Atomic Habits. If you have the opportunity to pick that up, go pick it up. I'm not sponsored. This is just something that I have that I've been reading. I picked the book up this year. I've read it about 5 times already, and it's extremely helpful to me because it really tells you how to pinpoint the things that are wasting your time. There's certain things that I did that, you know, I knew it was a time waster, but the way he breaks it down, it allows you to see how much time you're actually wasting, right? And if you're wasting time doing things that aren't productive to your mindset, then it's going to take you further away from reaching your goal as fast as you want to reach it, right? It's just going to delay the process. So, you know, that probably would be my first recommendation. There are some mindset guides that you can actually listen to on YouTube and listen to podcasts there. I'll link some of that stuff in the description, but I really wanted this episode to really just focus on knowing that you can do what it is you set your mind to, right? Especially in the trades. There are going to be times where there are hiccups. There are going to be times where things don't go your way. But if you remember your successes, if you track your goals, and you remember how far you came, there's no one who can really tell you that you can't be an authority on anything if you've already lived the experience, right? Your lived experience can help you spread your message. It can help you get your word out there. It can help you affect others in a positive way, because people are out here looking for guidance, right? And again, that's the reason why, like, I really wanted to get this podcast up and running, because it takes a lot for me to get it done. For those who don't know, I mean, I'm married. I got six kids, teenagers down to a toddler. So my time is extremely valuable to me. My time is extremely precious, but I still feel like there's a need for me to put these episodes out, and I want it to be life-changing. I want it to be impactful, because I remember the people who came before me and how they impacted my lives, and they literally were just a guide for me, and that's exactly what I needed. So appreciate you guys for listening. Thank you so much for supporting the channel. Thank you for supporting me. I get the text messages. I get the emails. I get all that. Just thank you guys. I'm really appreciative, and I'll catch you next time.